Sermon title today is The Event. Baptism is not the something that is happening. Baptism is the revealing of the something that has happened. Usually, I'll just bare my heart here just for a moment. We usually have baptism classes for a couple weeks, and then we have a baptism. And this summer has just been so busy, and with not having our own baptistry, and we're kind of dependent on when school's going to start, what the weather's going to do, and we need to get this in here, that it's kind of being rushed just a little bit. But someday we're going to have our own baptistry. And then once a year or once a quarter or once every 6 months we'll have our baptism and we'll have our classes before the baptism. So this is going to kind of fill the gap for people today. So baptism is not the something that is happening. Baptism is the revealing of the something that has happened. Baptism and Holy Communion are known as sacraments. They are both something that man does. In themselves, they have, listen to me, they have no saving grace in themselves. Baptism and communion are both open testimonies of the something that has happened in your life. That something is that I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I have been born again, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. Communion is a testimony, and sometimes we don't necessarily understand the seriousness of communion, but we're going to talk about it just for a moment. Communion is a testimony to all who are present, to everyone that is in the room at the time, that you are, as a believer, testifying to other people of Christ, His death, and His resurrection, but it doesn't stop there. So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, almost once a month we read this scripture. But we want to point out something just a little bit deeper into it today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. In verse 23 it says this, "For I have received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now listen to the words. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes." You are proclaiming that this is true, and it's true in your life. Now turn with me to Matthew 26. We're going to go just a little bit further today. In Matthew 26, and we go to verse 26. So Matthew 26 and verse 26, and it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and he gave to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. For I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of this vine from now until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Very close to the same thing is shared in Mark chapter 14 and also Luke chapter 22. Now this month in communion, we brought this out a little bit deeper. According to the Galilean wedding, the groom would meet the bride at the gate, and when he asked her to marry him and she accepted, they would partake of the wine together at that point in time. That groom would never partake of that wine again until the wedding ceremony. So how's this tie into us? Jesus is the groom and we are the bride of Christ. He will receive communion with us when we are joined together in the heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Very close to the same thing is said in Mark and Luke. Communion is not only a testimony that Christ died and was resurrected, but that He is coming again, and you believe it in your heart and life today. You and I will receive communion with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So communion means nothing if you do not know Jesus. You get that? It doesn't mean anything if you don't know Jesus. So it's a sacrament that we share in, but always remember something that man can do with you has any saving grace in it, because we are not saved by man. We are not saved by our will, but we're saved by our Heavenly Father in heaven. That's how we are saved, through the blood of Jesus. Likewise, baptism means nothing if you do not know Jesus. When I was young, and you probably heard me say this before, but when I was young, my dad decided we all needed to be baptized, okay? So mom and dad, my two sisters, and I all loaded up in the car. We went to the local Church of Christ, and that day we were baptized, not knowing why and not knowing Christ. My dad, as far as I can remember, he never went back to church after that. So he went there to make sure that he was baptized, because that was so important, as if it had saving grace in the action that you were doing, and then went back home. Now, my dad later on in his life, he did accept Christ, and I praise God for that. Later on in life, I was baptized again, because then I realized and recognized what I was doing. That's where you get the saying, you went down a dry center and you come up a wet center, because you don't have any idea what you are doing and you never accepted Christ. That's a sacrament that man could do. So when I knew the truth, I was baptized again. So what is the something that has happened in these believers today that are submitting themselves to baptism? What is the something that has happened in their life, in one's life, that we would say, today is the day I want to be baptized? Well, turn with me to Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8, and we're going to leave Romans here a little later on, but we're going to come back to it. So Romans 10 and verse 8. In verse 8, it says this. Romans 10 and verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth that Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will what? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Now think about it just for a moment. How does salvation come about? And I think everyone in this room and everyone in this church should be able to walk somebody that may be an unbeliever through these steps, so they understand exactly how a person becomes saved. So how does a person become saved? Number one, look at Romans 10:8. Romans 10:8 says this, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now look at Romans 10:17. 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number one, the word is spoken into your heart. It is watered, or it is sowed in your life. Through the Word of God, we come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that Word is sowed. So every one of you, the book of Isaiah says what? My Word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish the task that I have sent it out to do. Every one of you that is sowing the Word, watering the Word in people's lives, you keep on watering and you keep on sowing. God is the one that brings the increase. Amen. He will bring the increase. So number one, how does a person get saved? Number one, the word is sowed into their life. Number two, that God, through the Holy Spirit, energizes that word. This is an amazing thing. You can't just get up in the morning and say, well, today I'm going to go to church. I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Today is the salvation. Not unless you have the word sowed in your life and God energizes that word, because through that word he draws you to him. People say, well, I'll just make my own decision. I'll just do it whenever I want to. Is that how it works? No, it doesn't. So turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We're going to come back to Romans. So Luke 24, and we're going to review all this at the end. So Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. Luke 24, verse 30, and this is on the road to Emmaus. Most of you are very familiar with that story, but this is what it says in verse 30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, remember they invited Jesus in for supper, that he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now listen to the words. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? God, through the Holy Spirit, energizes that word. Have you ever had the word burn in your heart? But before I knew Jesus and I was convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, that word was burning in my life. I needed to make a decision, and he was calling to me to make a decision because the word was burning in my life and he had energized that word in my life. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And when the Holy Spirit energizes the word in your life, it's the same as Jesus being with you at that very moment in time. So when they say, you know, wasn't the word burning in our heart when Jesus was with us? When the Holy Spirit, when you feel the word burning in your heart and life, it's like Jesus is right there beside you. He's speaking to your heart to draw you closer to him. So then what happens after that? Well, turn with me to John 6 and verse 44. John 6 and verse 44. In John 6 and verse 44, it says this. It says, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. We are drawn to him. Now let's turn back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. So we're going to go back to Romans 10, verse 9. Verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's critically important that we live in a world where we don't want to embarrass anybody. We can go to the Olympics and shout our brains out and look like stupid fools, but we don't want to go to the church and we don't want to embarrass anybody. So we have people fill out confession cards, or we have somebody fill out a card saying you accepted Jesus that particular day. Well, we don't do that at Crossroads Gospel Church. We believe that if God is moving in your heart by faith, you should stand up, come forward, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The word has never changed, so neither should how we operate within the body of Christ. So confession is made, the last step, confession is made into salvation. So I'm going to give you salvation by the numbers. Number one, the word is spoken, sowed, or watered in your life. Number two, the Holy Spirit energizes and activates that word in your life. Number three, I'm drawn to Jesus. And number four, confession is made unto salvation. At that point of confession in our lives, look at what God does. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're going to get back to baptism. We're getting there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and a lot of you could quote it by heart. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I confess it, and through the Spirit I am born again. Not by the will of man, but by the will of God. Nicodemus was confused by this, wasn't he? Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 1. John, the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 1. In John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is a natural birth, and there is a spiritual birth. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have spiritually been born again. Water baptism is an open testimony to everyone present that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I have been born again. That's what baptism is. It's a testimony. It's a testimony to everyone that is there that I am a believer in Jesus. Communion is a testimony to everyone that is there that I am a believer in Jesus' death, resurrection, and I believe that he is going to come again. There is no doubt in my mind. Someday I'm going to be walking on the streets of gold. There's a mansion on the hilltop. It's got my name on the door. Hallelujah. That's what he's got in store for each and every one of us today. It is a special event for not only the one being baptized, but everyone that is present. We are following in the footsteps of Jesus. So you say, well, I'm blessed when I receive communion. Well, absolutely you're blessed when you receive communion. You're following in the footsteps of Jesus. You will be blessed today, blessed beyond measure for those that are standing on the bank and those that are in the water, because you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, we look at Jesus' baptism. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 of Matthew, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting upon him, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Beautiful picture and illustration for everyone that is sitting here today of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus come out of the water. That's why we believe in this church in baptism by immersion, because baptism in Greek means baptizo. Baptizo means to be immersed. So that's why we believe in baptism by immersion, following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus was coming out of the water. The Holy Spirit was coming down on him in the form of a dove. And all of a sudden we hear the voice of the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Children of God today, and you're a child of God because God don't have no grandchildren. When you're baptized, you can in your mind hear those words, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter. They are following in the footsteps of my Son. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. It pleases God for us to do his will. And when God is pleased, you know what happens? He blesses his people. The Great Commission gives us the authority. We baptize in the name of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you turn with me to Matthew 28, we're not very far from there. Matthew 28, verse 18. We're just about done. Matthew 28, verse 18. Verse 18 says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go." You see the transfer of the authority? This is my authority. Now I'm placing it on your shoulders as a church. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them," how? "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Great Commission gives us this authority that we as a church can function in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And as Jesus came out of the water, we baptized by immersion. It is an amazing thing. This church needs to be having a baptism every 2 months. We need to have so many people coming to church that they're waiting in line to get baptized. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing if all of a sudden we go to Countryside and we're going to have a baptism service and there's so many cars that are filling the parking lot and there's not enough room in the pond for all the people that need to be baptized? Because we live in a lost and dying world and everybody out there needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you know the steps to help lead them to Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to ask for those that are going to be baptized, if they will just come up and make a row and face the congregation today. Baptism says that I am saved, that I am committed to following Jesus. And as they come up, I share something with them as well as they turn and face you today. Baptism is not a sign of perfection. I know Christ has much to do in my life. You cannot wait until you're perfect to accept Jesus, because it will never happen. You know the reason why you can't wait until you're perfect to accept Jesus, that it will never happen? Because if you could do it on your own, Jesus would not have had to die. You get that? You can't do it on your own. Even after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we give ourselves to be baptized, it's not a sign of perfection. It's a sign to everyone that is standing there that day, "I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I have accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, and I am committed to allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me in my Christ-like walk." Amen. Because there's not anyone in this room that's perfect yet. Or I would show you when I get there and I would walk on the water. But you're not going to see that today, are you? I'm going to sink. But I'm seeking the one that is perfect. I've committed my life to that, to develop that in my life. And I ask this group today, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And are you committing your life to following Him? Amen. Little Tristan wanted to be baptized last year. Decided to wait another year because wanted him to wait till he was a little bit bigger so he'd have a fuller understanding of what he was doing. These other people have committed to being baptized today because they wanted to make that commitment in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Henry and Cheryl, I've seen the Lord he's just been growing in their lives and He's continuing to grow, and we praise God for that. Little Grace here, she said, "I want to make this step change in my life. I've committed my life to following Jesus, and I want to follow Him with everything that's in my heart, my life, my soul." Amen. 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 And what an example for Grandpa to be here today. It's not that these people, some of them haven't been baptized before, but it's a new recommitment in their life. Then I want to make this a new and a fresh walk. Then I'm going to do it this time, Lord. I'm going to anoint them all today. And then we're going to leave this place in a little bit. But I anoint you. Jesus come up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. We anoint Tristan today, and Stacia, and Jackie. We anoint all of these believers today with the presence. That's what that oil means. We're anointing them with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what it represents in their life. The Holy Spirit is going to bless them for their action of faith that they have committed today to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy today. Father, we just rejoice in this time that we can gather here today. And as we leave and go our separate ways and we move to the communion area, we pray that, Lord, your blessings would be upon each and every one of us. I pray for these believers today, not only ones that are standing here, but I pray for those that are sitting here today. When they get out of the car, to walk to the baptism, I pray that they'll just feel the Holy Spirit touching their life, that they are in the will of God, that he wants to bless them and anoint them, and we anoint them with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask this all today, Father, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all.